find a response. Let's go to Psalm 18, if you could. Listen, I know we've got the fans going. There's a lot of things, little noise. We're having some technical difficulties with the live stream. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff going on. We're still going to preach the Word, right? We're still going to get into His Word. We're still going to have a good time. And so Psalm 18 is where I need you to be finding yourself. And really, you can just kind of camp out there. I don't know if we're even going to chase a cross-reference. I'm going to give you about 1,000 of them. But I'm going to quote them to you, and I'm going to ask you to write them down. But just for time's sake, we're not going to be able to go to every single one of those references, so you can kind of find Psalm 18 and pitch a tent. Can everybody hear all right? Is it too loud for anybody? Are we all good? All right, so let me ask you this question before we get going too far. Do you have a significant other? Do you have a wife? Do you have a child? Do you have a parent that you love? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are they with you? If they're with you, would you just take a few moments and just tell them why you love them? Tell your spouse. Tell your child. Tell your parent. Tell your grandparent. Tell your best friend. Tell your neighbor. Tell the church member sitting close to you why you love them. And maybe you said, but I haven't told them that I love them yet. Now's the time. Today's the day. Tell them why you love them. Hey, Chip, Michael, and I love you. I love you because you have the same amount of hours in a day that everybody else has, and yet you seem to find 5 more. And you invest in people beyond your ability. I love that about you. Absolutely love that about you. Dave Shelby, I love you. I love you. You just have a weird ability just to find something in a dark spot and just grab and pull them out. Just gifted that. And I love that about you. I love this church. I love you all. You mean the world to me. And it's easy to throw words around like, I love you. Right? I love this. Or I love that. If you follow me on social media, you'll find out that I love food. Right? At least that's the word we throw around all the time. Dave Williams was asking me, he said, dude, why do you keep putting pictures up? Like, we're supposed to be fasting and praying. You keep throwing food pictures. Well, I'm sick and tired of the politics.
Amen.
And so I'm just putting food out there. Because I think we can all agree, food tastes good. Not unless you're a vegetarian. Maybe you got a time. Yeah. I'm just kidding. The reason I had you do that is I want you to see verse 1, Psalm 18, verse 1. Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? It doesn't say, I love you, Lord, my strength. It says, I will love thee, Lord, O Lord, my strength. And then you get to verse 2. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's as far as we're going to get today. But I want you to notice in verse 1, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He makes this commitment to God. He says, okay, Lord, you are my strength. And then it's almost as if he turns the attention away from God and begins to address everybody else and says, the Lord is. He's no longer talking to God. He's now talking about God, isn't he? And as I was coming across this again this week, and it says, I will love thee, O Lord. I thought, Lord, that's a strange way to put it. Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, I love the Lord. Right? So, you've already talked to your neighbor. Let's talk to your neighbor and tell them one thing why you love God. Why do you love the Lord? Why do you love God? Right now. Quick. Why do you love the Lord? Share with your neighbor. Share with somebody that's sitting next to you. Some of you are like, I don't have a neighbor. Then tell God why you love Him. Why do you love the Lord? Because David clears off his spot. This is at the end of him running away from Saul and getting established into his kingdom. He just clears off his spot and says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then that word strength is the all-encompassing word for everything he defines in verse 2. And then his solution, his conclusion in verse 3 is that I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. You should love the Lord. Do you know why you should love the Lord? You should love the Lord because he loved you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Well, God loves us. Amen? Amen. And so when David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then he clears off the spot in verse 2 and he says, he's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He just laid out for you how God loves you. Because this is who God is. He didn't say God is like a rock. He didn't say God is like a fortress. He didn't say God is like a high tower. He says God is these things. Everybody with me? And so if I could just take some time just to share with you why I love the Lord. Is that okay? So as I was studying Psalm 18, I just put it on my paper. Why I love the Lord. And I'm going to give you some points, and I'm going to ask you to write it down and write down some references. Check them out for yourselves. But I want you to see this. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Then he says this in verse 2. The Lord is my rock. You see, I love the Lord because the Lord loves me as my rock. That's why I love the Lord. He is my rock. And I love him because he loved me. You see, he is the solid foundation of my salvation. That is my Jesus. He is the solid foundation of my salvation. He is my rock. That's why I love him. Psalm 40 in verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's what Jesus did for me. The moment I called out to him and asked him to save my soul, he brought me out of the world, pulled me out of the miry clay, and set my feet on his rock. And his name is Jesus. Amen? I'm a little bit excited this morning. I love the Lord. He is my rock. He's the solid foundation of my salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. There's no better foundation than bedrock. Truth?
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the truth. I'm just telling you. There's no better foundation for you to plant your house on, to build anything on, than on bedrock. The rock of my salvation is Jesus Christ. That's why I love him. You see, I believed growing up that I was a good guy because I was a good guy that I was going to go to heaven one day. I always believed in God. All my life, I always believed that there was a God. Never doubted that. Ever once. Never. I just thought, I just have to please him and be a good enough boy, be a good boy, and I'd be okay. I thought my good would outweigh my bad because I had plenty of bad. So I tried to be really, really good and thought God would be pleased with that. That's not the truth, is it? Hell's going to be full of people who are good people, great people, who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I think the timing of this is absolutely crazy. But one of my best friends on the planet is here this morning. His name's J.D. Hillstead. I every time he's here, he's preaching about salvation. I don't know why. But J.D.'s way back here in the back. And his birthday was a few days ago on the 19th, and I sent him a text. And I said, I'm so glad that you were born, because if you hadn't been born, I may not be born again. Because that guy loved me. He invited me to church, and then he invited me to meet Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm saved because of the investment this man made in me. Because he pointed me to my rock. My salvation, and he let me know that there's no salvation in any other place than in Jesus Christ. That's why I love the Lord. That's why I love him. And it's crazy, isn't it? I'm up here preaching the Word of God. This is absolutely nuts. It's just, oh my goodness, it just blows me away. July 1993, I met Jesus Christ in the Savior. I met my rock. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress. You see, I love the Lord. This is important. This is a big one. I love the Lord because he is my fortress, because he loves me as my fortress. Now, what is a fortress? A fortress is something you're safe in. Nothing can hinder, nothing can get you, nothing can grab you. You are safe behind the walls of the fortress. You see, I also used to believe that I could lose my salvation. Scripture doesn't teach that, does it? So the Lord is my fortress. My salvation is secure in him. Praise the Lord that I'm not responsible for my own salvation. Can I get an amen for that? Because if I'm responsible for holding on to it, I'm going to drop it every single day. I'm going to lose it. But praise the Lord that my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. I place my trust in him. He saves me eternally. Praise the Lord for that. He is my fortress. My salvation is secure in him. John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That was a shouting moment right there. You missed it. So I'm going to say it one more time. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You are saved. You are eternally secure. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. He is my fortress. Against that day, he is my fortress, and that's why I love him. That my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. And then he says, he's my deliverer. Oh, I like that word. Anybody else?
Amen.
How many of you remember the day you got saved? The day you met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, man, I was a mess. I was steeped in sin. I was heading this way, and I met Jesus Christ, and he delivered me. He calls him my deliverer. That means the deliverer delivered him, and he is now delivered. In other words, I'm no longer bound to my sin anymore. Colossians 1:13 says, for who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I was stuck in the power of darkness, and then the light of Jesus Christ shined into my life, and I met him as Savior, and he pulled me out of the darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. I now dwell in the light. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. That's why I love the Lord. He's not just my rock. He's not just my fortress. No, he's my deliverer. I'm now free from the penalty of my sin. I don't have to pay for my sin anymore because he paid the debt that I owed, and I could not pay it. And I praise the Lord for that. But I'm also free from the power of sin. I don't have to serve sin anymore. He's made me free from that. I'm no longer dwelling in that darkness anymore. Do I still sin? Yes. Not because I don't have victory from it, because I won't let go of it. That's why I struggle with it sometimes. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call me home. I'm going to get a body like Christ. I'm going to be free from the presence of sin one day. I am delivered. I get a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even wrap my mind around not having flesh to tempt me. I can't wrap my mind around that, but I do know that he is my deliverer, and he is continuously delivering me. Always being delivered. So I love him for being my rock. I love him for being my fortress. I love him for being my deliverer. But check this out. He says in the middle of verse 2, my God. My God. Do you know there's a lot of people serving false gods today? And they're made out of brick, and they're made out of stone, and they're made out of trees, and they're worshiping the air and the sun and the moon, and they're serving all these inanimate objects. Well, you and I, we get to have a relationship with the Lord Most High, don't we? The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. Wants to have a relationship with me. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. He's not some distant God. He's not just some distant thing. He's not just some inanimate object. No, my God came on a rescue mission for me. Mason talks about this all the time. Every religion on the planet, every one but ours, every single one of them but this one, says you have to work your way to God. But the Bible says, no, no, no. God came to you. You can't work your way to God. It's not possible. He came on a rescue mission to seek and to save you. No doubt about it. John 3:16. We all know this verse, don't we? For God so loved the world. Come on, let's quote him. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's something you have, present tense. It's not something you get one day. You don't just get saved and get like a little card that says it get guaranteed life one day. No, you have it in that moment. In that instant, you have everlasting life now. If you met Christ as your Savior, you are alive forevermore now. It's not some gift that you get one day. No, you have it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says this, "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We call that relationship. We call that fellowship. That's the God that I serve. That's why I love him. I love him because I'm saved. I love him because I'm eternally secure. I love him because he's delivering free from the, he's continued to deliver me from my sin. I love him because he's my God, that I can call out to him. I love him, that I can have fellowship with him. That is why I love him. But beyond that, I love him because he's my strength. You see that in verse 2. He's my strength. I've already shared this, but I'll share it again. My strength, my ability, my righteousness could not save me. I don't know if that helps you out this morning. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because I just got news for you. You're never going to be strong enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be nice enough. You're never going to be righteous enough. And you're never going to be holy enough for God to accept you. Because you're not strong enough to save yourself. He's our strength. He is our strength. That's why I love Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Y'all ready for this? For when we were yet without strength, I love this. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what?
Christ died
for us. Amen. Why do I love him? Because he loved me first. Why do I know his love? It was a sacrificial love. He came on a rescue mission and he saved my soul because I was without strength. I had no ability in and of myself. He says, I'll do it for you. I'll take your sin upon myself and I will die the death that you deserve and I will raise again from victory so that you might have the same. Tony, you're kind of preaching to the choir. Yeah. I am. And I'm hoping we can get a hold of this. You're like, yeah, I know these verses. I know all this. Then are you loving him because of it? Or have you lost sight? Are you just taking it for granted? He says, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. And then he says, in whom I will trust. We'll come back to that. And he's not done. He says, oh yeah, by the way, he's also my buckler. What in the world is a buckler? Well, it's what holds your belt together, right? No, that's not what a buckler is. A buckler is a mini shield. It's a shield. It's the expectation is you're going to be in a battle. You have the shield, it's a big, massive shield, and you have a buckler. That's your personal shield. That's the one you carry. He says, he's my buckler. In other words, he stands between me and my accusers, doesn't he? Did you know you have an accuser? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. You know what Satan is doing at this very moment? He's accusing you. He's at the throne room of God, and he's accusing you daily, accusing you. He's called the accuser of the brethren. You know what my Jesus does as my buckler, as my intercessor, as the one who goes between me and my accusers? He stands in my place as my buckler. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, look at this, who also maketh intercession for us. So as Satan whispers and is accusing David of Sutterby, you know what Jesus is saying? Yeah, but he's mine. He's under the blood. He's justified. He's under the blood. You know what that no good, sorry David Williams is doing? Yeah, that's my son. He's my child. Am I interceding for him? He's under the blood. That's what is happening in the spiritual realm all of the time. And we're clueless. Those lies that whisper in your head, when you hear you're not good enough, you might as well just give up. That's satanic lies. And praise the Lord, you have a buckler, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who intercedes and stands in the place and stands between you and the accuser. That is why I love my Jesus Christ. But then he says this, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and look at this, the horn of my salvation. What in the world does that mean? The horn of my salvation? Or like the horn of my salvation? Like which one is it? I think it's both. He is the horn of my salvation. I can be confident. I can be confident in my Savior. He is the horn of my salvation. Those days where I want to believe the lies, those days where I question my salvation, those days where I'm having issues, those days where the questions are going crazy, I can sound the trumpet. I am saved. He is the horn of my salvation. Those are the days where the horn, literally the lamb, the sheep with the horns, drives away the enemy. That's the horn of my salvation. Listen to this. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." That's Jesus Christ. He is the horn of our salvation. At the end of verse 2, he says he's also our high tower, isn't he? He's also our high tower. What does that mean? It's called not on the ground, right? That's a high tower. It's in the air where you can see the enemy coming from miles away. You are protected in this high tower. But I think it's interesting when I consider verses like this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It means I'm sitting in heavenly places right now. You ever been in two places at the same time? If you're a believer, you are right now. You are here in your lawn chair. Thank you for bringing that. We haven't started to put the tush in the cush bush yet. You say that wrong, it comes out wrong. Right, so we're going to be doing that soon. But thank you, you're sitting here in your lawn chair. But you're also, if you're a believer in Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are seated in heavenly places right now. You are here, but you're also there. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." You're already with him. You're already in Christ. Now tell me how you can lose your salvation. Now tell me how that's possible. You're already in heaven. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, you're already there. Tony, I don't understand it. Me either. But I know it's true. I'm already in my high tower. That's why I love my God. That's why I love him. But if you notice verse 1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." What does it mean, the strength? We just talked about what the strength is in verse 2. So here's my question. What does it mean to say, "I will love thee"? What does that really mean to say, "I will love thee"? Listen, we told our wives, we told our husbands, we told our kids, we told our grandparents, we told our church members why we love them. Now, what if I asked you to to ask the person you just told them, hey, I love you. Now ask them, how are you loving them? What if you ask your significant question other than that question? Like, what if I went to my wife and I said, hey, babe, you're beautiful. I love you. And her next question would be, well, how are you loving me? Because love is not an emotion, is it? Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. There's action behind it. And we tell God we love him all day long. We tell our kids we love them. We tell our spouses we love them. We tell our grandkids, our grandparents, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay? Love to hear those words. Love it. But I got to see it. Because if I don't see it, then there is no love. It's just empty words. How are you loving your spouse? How are you loving your children? How are you loving your parents? How are you loving your grandparents? How are you loving each other? How are you loving the church members? How are you loving your God? Because I will love thee. It's not like, man, I made a decision. I'm going to finally start loving you, Lord. That's not what he's saying. I think he's loved him in an emotional level. But he's got a newfound relationship with God when he understands who he is and understands that God loves him more than he could ever love God in return. So what does it mean to love? Now I don't have these verses. You can go chase these down. I just, for the sake of time. But I think love has to do with obedience, doesn't it? How is it you love me and do not the things that I say? I think Scripture says something about that. In other words, you do what his word says. Did you know you can't love without sacrifice? You can't love without sacrifice. It's not possible. The first mention of love in your Bible deals with sacrifice. You read about that in the book of Genesis where Abraham is getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, and love and worship and sacrifice all culminate right there in that chapter. So literally, when you tell your wife, when you tell your husband, I love you, here's what you're really saying to them. I'm choosing to die for you today. That's what you're saying. When you say, I love you, I'm dying for you today. That might change how you use the word love. Right? Because sometimes we go, well, I love you, which means, I'd like you to die for me today. That's usually what that means. What if you said, I love you to the Lord? Every time we say it, I'm dying to myself today, Lord, because I love you. That's love. That's love. I'm dying to myself today because I love you. Sacrifice. I think in Luke chapter 14, he says that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to love him more than any other person. You have to love him more than any other person. That's what it means to be a lover of the Lord. How about this? Do you love the Lord more than your sin? Do you love the Lord more than your sin? Because there's a great amount of love that rescued you from it. We love him back that much. So when David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, he's not talking about some emotional love. It's an obedient, sacrificial love who prefers the Lord over anybody else, over any other earthly relationship. There's an order in my home. I hope my kids understand this. There's an order in my home. I will love my Lord first and foremost. And then I'm going to love my wife because my kids leave one day. And it's just going to be her and I. We are one. So I love my wife. And then it's my kids. I don't love them less. I just love them different. Right? Everybody with me on this?
Yeah.
And then it's my dog. And I've sacrificed and I've even obeyed that thing every now and then. But there's an order in my home. There's got to be an order in our life. I love you all, but if you all turn your back on the Lord, I'm still choosing the Lord. I'm still following Him. Because I love Him. Because He loved me first. Now He says this in the middle of verse 2. In whom I will trust. So I share with you why I love the Lord. Let me just take a few moments. This is going to look a little faster, a little quicker. Why I trust Him. Because there's a difference between love and trust, isn't there? It says, not only do I love the Lord, but I also trust Him. So can I tell you why I trust the Lord? I trust Him because I love Him. Because He loved me. Does that make sense? Because that's really what's happening here. I trust Him because I love Him, because He loves me. That's why I trust Him. Can we have some marriage counseling just for a moment? Is it okay if we have some marriage counseling? Some parenting counseling? Some self-love counseling? Do we have some of that? You know what we desperately crave the most as husbands? Can I just let you ladies in on a secret? Here's what we desperately crave the most. We want to feel secure. And the ladies, that's what you're thinking. Wait, that's our secret. How'd you know that? Because it's the same thing. Husbands, did you know that? That's what your wife desperately wants, is to feel secure. That's why she asks you when you're laying in bed for an hour, is the garage door shut? Did you lock the door? Those windows locked? Was all that taken care of? Well, because they want to know that they're secure. All right, that's on a physical level. Did you know your kids want that too? They want to know that they're safe. They want to know that they're secure. And here's what's crazy. Is we don't search for it that way. Here's what we go looking for to verify whether we're secure or not. Here, you ready? We want to know that we're significant. That's it. If you spend time, husbands, pouring into your wife, letting her know that she is significant to you, in other words, you answer her phone calls, you send her texts, you're always available to her, you're on a trip, you make a phone call, hey, I just love you, I just want you to know that you're on my mind. What are you wearing? No, none of that questions. Right? Amen. Significant, you want to know, you want your spouse to know that she is significant. Ladies, husbands want the exact same thing. They want the exact same thing. Now, you want, ladies, you want to be loved, and men want to be what? Respected. I just want to know that my opinion matters. That it counts. Right? I just want to know, you know, that you respect what I've done for you in the house and whatever. I just want to know that I'm significant, because when I feel significant, I feel secure. And when I feel secure, guess what happens? I trust. That's how it works. And that's what David is saying. He says, I feel significant because He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my strength. He is the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. I feel significant. Because I feel significant, I'm now able to be feeling secure, and I can trust. Everybody hang with me on this? That's what's happening here. Why is he able to trust? Because he knows that he's loved. And that he loves in return. So let me put this question out to you. Who is testing your love to see if they can trust you or not? Who is testing your love to see whether they can trust you or not? Well, I just can't trust him yet. The reason you can't trust him is because you don't know that you're loved yet. That's the issue. you're having trust issues, it's really significant issues. That's what's happening. Amen? I felt like we had to have that little commercial break. Let's come back to the message. Because that's what's happening here. This is, I'm going to trust the Lord because He loves me and I love Him back. I'm completely secure knowing that I'm significant, and God always secures that which is significant to Him. That's why He says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, that I'm with you always, right? So I'm always with you. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why? Because He wants you to know that it secures that which is significant to Him, and you can trust Him. And so I trust Him as my rock. I do. I completely trust Him as my rock, because the rains came down and the floods come up. Amen? They do. That happens. The floods come up. And I want to know that I'm grounded, settled on my rock. He is not just the salvation foundation, but He's the foundation for my faith. That I don't have to be moved when the floods come. And they're coming. I'm telling you they're coming. The floods are coming. I trust Him as my fortress. That when the enemy attacks, I can hide in my fortress and know that I'm safe and I am secure. I trust Him as my deliverer. That He saves me from my bondage, my depression, and my anxiety, my bad attitudes, and my hate, and my prejudices, and my, you name it. He delivers them from me. That He delivers me from them. I trust Him because He's my God. That I can have fellowship with Him. I know that when I call out to Him, that He hears me and He answers my prayer according to His will. I love that. I love that. He's my God. But He's not just my God. He's also my strength. And His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And His grace is sufficient for me. And so He is the source of my strength in the moments of my weakness. But He's also my buckler. And I trust Him immensely that He gives me a shield of faith that's going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He's my buckler. And I trust Him that He's the horn of my salvation. I'm reminded that I'm saved when the enemy comes in and begins to whisper his lies in my ear. He is the horn of my salvation. I can take you back to the moment I met Him. I can tell you everything about that evening that I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's days where I have to go back to that moment, where I got the lies whispered in my ear. You're not that good of a pastor. I know that. You're not that good of a husband. I know that. But I serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly through me, more than I can even ask or think. That's the God that I serve. And I'm calling out to Him. And He's the horn of my salvation. And I know I'm His child. But He's also my high tower. Let me just tell you, I run to the high tower all the time. Because even when I'm at my lowest, I'm at my highest. Because sometimes I just need to be reminded that I really don't belong here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the reach of the Lord. That I'm already seated in heavenly places. No matter how low I get, I'm already at my highest. I got to be reminded of that, that I'm at my highest because I'm in Him, because He's seated at the right hand of the Father that guarantees my life. What else do you want to do about that? I can't be depressed about that. That's pretty awesome. Now, verse 3. Don't panic. It's not a whole nother third sermon. This is fast. Ready? Verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Why do I love the Lord? Because He loved me first. Why do I trust Him? Because He loves me. And I love Him back. And why do I call upon the Lord? Here's why I call upon the Lord. Because I love Him and trust Him. That's why. I think Stevie Wonder had it right. I just call to say I love you. I just call to say I care. Have you ever noticed we're a society that texts a lot, Snapchat a bunch, we do all this type of stuff. We're not a society that talks on the phone anymore. Because you see somebody calling, you're like, ooh, catch you on the flip side. They'll leave a voicemail. They'll text me if it's really that important. Now, there's certain people, when you call, they answer. You know why? Because they love you. There's certain people that call you because they love you. It's the truth. You talk to the people you love the most. You reach out for counsel from the people you can trust the most. Right? If you're having an issue and you know you have an acquaintance who is a gossip, you ain't calling them. You're not doing it. Why? Because you can't trust them. You know that whatever you say is going to be twisted and flopped, and by the time you get home, it's going to be a crazy story. There's just some people you can't trust. You can't talk to them on the phone. You can't give them a call. You can't seek counsel, but there are a few. There are a few. But you love, and you know they love you in return, and you know that you can trust them. They are the ones you call. And could it be that the reason you don't call upon the name of the Lord, could it be the reason that you don't call out to Him is because you don't know that He loves you, or you love Him, or you don't think that you can trust the Lord? I got news for you. You can trust Him. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be what? Praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let me make three closing applications. We'll be done. Sometimes the best way to call upon the Lord is to praise Him in why you love Him and why you trust Him. You've been so low, you don't even know what to pray. You've been in a spot like, I need to pray, but I don't know what to pray. And so all that just comes out is tears. All that comes out is just crying. Could it be that in those moments, the only thing you got left is to praise Him and why you love Him and why you trust Him? Lord, I don't know what's going on in my world, but I love You for this, and I love You for that, and I love You for this, and I love You for that. And so I'm going to cry out to You, and I'm going to trust You for this, and I'm going to trust in You for that. You don't know what to pray, just praise. Amen? Just praise. And I would even take it a step further. Pray while you praise. Get your praise on, get your prayer out, do it all at the same time. Just praise the Lord. And sometimes your praise is your prayer. Pray with your praise, just like Paul and Silas. I started the whole service off with them. I'll close with them. Remember Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, when they're arrested for their faith, they find themselves in prison, and at midnight, what are they doing? They're praising. Now, they probably were praying and praising, but the Bible says they sang praises unto God at midnight. And that is when things began to change. That's when the jailer comes springing in. That's when the earthquake happens and the doors opened up and everybody's free. People get saved, people got delivered that day. Because two people praised. May we be a praying, praising people who love the Lord and trust Him in His name. Love Him enough and trust Him enough to call on His name. Even if that's just nothing more than praise. And that's what God's been doing in my heart this week. And I pray that you can grab a hold of Him. Amen? That's the God that I serve. That's why I love Him. That's why I trust Him. That's why we should call on Him. Stand there. Hearing the sound of my voice, whether you're on live stream or in the room or in the parking lot, I don't really know where you all are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. You need to quit messing around. You know you're lost. You know you don't know Christ as your Savior. Make today the day of your salvation. Bow the knee. Accept what He's done for you. He shed His blood for you, died for you, rose again for you so you can have newness of life. So grab a hold of whoever you're sitting next to and say, hey, that's me. I need to get saved today. You need to get saved. Church, we got to get a hold of this. Do you love the Lord beyond this emotional word love, that you are loving Him in obedience, you're loving Him more than any other person, you are loving Him for being your rock and your deliverer and your fortress and your high tower, all those things? Are you trusting? Do you love Him enough and trust Him enough to call out to Him and rely on Him? Because the Bible says you'll be safe from your enemies when you call upon Him. Call upon Him in love and in trust. So whatever it is you might be facing, whatever it is you're struggling with, just call on Him. Call on Him. Now, there's people that are happy to counsel, and people are happy to do those things, but my goodness, instead of crying to man, let's cry to God. Amen? Let's just take a few moments. Let's just do that right now. Maybe you need to get saved. Grab a hold of somebody. They'll take you outside. They'll take you to the car. I share with you how you can meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. But church, we need to be a church that's relying and desperate for God to move here and in our personal lives. Let's spend some time crying out to the Lord in our closest hour of prayer in just a moment. Take some time. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for this church. Thank You that we're able to corporately praise and pray and get into Your word together. Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways out to our spheres of influence, out into the field. Lord, I pray that we would be reaping a harvest. And Lord, those issues and those struggles and those times when we feel down or we feel out or we feel attacked or whatever, Lord, I pray that we know that we are significant and secure in You. And so we love You and we trust You. And Lord, because we love and we trust, Lord, I pray that we just have a heart to call on You and to know that You will deliver according to Your will. Lord, You've been showing Yourself strong. You've been showing Yourself faithful to this church and the members of the church. And I just want to praise You for that. I want to acknowledge that. And I want to say thank You for that. But Lord, I know You're not done. And because You're not done, we aren't either. And so Lord, we just desperately want to follow You with our whole life and our whole being. That we can all say at the end, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Jesus, I pray. Amen.